Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So maybe you've heard this famous story about George Washington. As he was commander-in-chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, and one day he had his overcoat on and was covering up his insignia of rank, and he was riding past a detail where there was a corporal working with his men while their job was to move this heavy log into place. And it was a heavy log. It was kind of beyond their capacity. And the corporal was there saying, "Let's go, let's go, heave ho! Work harder, work harder." And General Washington stopped his horse. And he dismounted and he walked over quickly. And with his tall, strong body, he gave the log a little push, or maybe quite a bit of a push. And it rolled into place. And then he turned to the corporal and he said, Why didn't you help your men?" And the corporal said, "See this? I'm a corporal." Whereupon George Washington said, "See this? I'm a general." We often think about God as being someone who's high and mighty, far away. He's up in heaven. He's majestic. He's glorious. He's powerful. And we're not. This is true. But often we go further and we imagine that we have to climb up to God to get to Him. We have to ascend in our thinking. We have to just say it with me. We have to ascend in our thinking. Don't you feel more ascended already? No. We imagine that we have to improve our behavior just to get to Him. And this is a dangerous thought. Because there is distance between us. And while there's distance between us because God is our Creator and we're His creature, and there's another distance between us because He is holy and pure and we're fallen creatures. Sin creates a gulf between us. We can't stand in His presence anymore. So there is a distance between us. But how do we go about thinking about that? Well, you can be like some people, and you can try to seek God and find Him according to your ways. You can try to investigate God. You can try to discover God like a science project. Now think about that. Maybe if you were on the other end of that, what would it be like if somebody investigated you like a science project? Would you like that? You're a person. And so is God. He's not some invisible force. He's a person. Three persons, actually, in one God. He's a personal God. So what God does is He comes personally. He comes down and descends to our level to reveal to us knowledge about Himself. The difference is very important because humility in thinking about God shapes us and forms us to display humility in thinking about others. God is hidden to us in some ways. He's hidden. He's infinitely beyond our thinking. Proverbs 25 says that it is the glory of God to conceal things. And some of the things that He conceals from us, well, you could say one of them is He tried to conceal the knowledge of good and evil from us because we knew good and we went after evil. Some of the things He conceals from us are about Himself. Because God, by nature, is beyond our thinking. Sometimes I think we're kind of like ants trying to understand the human brain. That's how far below Him we are, maybe more. This calls for humility as we think about Him. We can't pretend to understand or explain God. And you will hear people, maybe sounds familiar to you, like, I want to believe in a God who's like this. Like you can change God. Like He needs to conform to your idea. Or, ooh, or you're not going to believe Him. That'll teach Him. No, it won't. Think about it this way. How can we as finite beings understand the infinite? If you could travel to the edge of space, which we can't do, by the way, but if you could, and you could kind of peer over to look into the abyss of nothingness that's out there beyond, could you comprehend it? God can and does. Us? It's hard even to imagine it. How about time? Could we understand time as God does, who exists and sees everything in the eternal present? The triune God who was at the beginning, is now, and will be forever? As we finite human beings who have in our mortal lives a beginning, a middle, and an end. We think of eternity and we kind of try to understand it as kind of a theoretical concept, but He experiences it. And how can we, mere creatures who just rework God's creation, how can we understand a being who speaks the universe into existence by His very word? And then how about this? How do we reconcile a God who is just and holy with a God who wants to be merciful and loving? We would have a hard time with that. So we humble ourselves and we allow God to reveal Himself to us. If we fail to be humbled before God, we fall prey to speculation and imagining and making things up about God. And by the way, when we do that, we make stuff up about ourselves too. We put ourselves in the place of God. Like Lucifer did before he was thrown out of heaven. As Proverbs says, the warning is not to put yourself forward in the presence of the king. Rather, we're to lower ourselves and to be promoted by God's gracious revealing of Himself. This is the point that Jesus is trying to make, that Jesus does make, that I'm trying to make, in the parable of the wedding banquet in the Gospel from Luke 14 today. God reveals Himself to us in ways that are beyond our thinking. We can't ascend to God, rather He descends to us and shows Him Himself by His Word. And the ultimate Word, the central revelation of God, is Jesus Christ Himself. He comes in person. The reading from Hebrews 13 that was read earlier by Joe, says that Jesus suffered as an outsider. He suffered as an outsider in order to sanctify us, to make us holy so that we could stand, so that we can stand in the presence of God. And that awful, bloody spectacle on the cross That is the revelation of the hidden God. When somebody comes up to you and says, I don't understand God, I don't know what He looks like, I can't believe in Him, He's hidden from me, you say, that is what He looks like. That is how He comes to you, humbly on a cross, the God of the universe, to reconcile God's holiness and His justice with His love and His mercy for you. So that your sins are exchanged for forgiveness and for life and for salvation, eternal salvation. So that you can stand in His presence. So that you can experience the infinite and the eternal in what He's going to give to you and in what He does give to you. And He comes to you in simple things like His Word, and in simple things like the water of baptism. Water, the most basic thing on earth, it seems like. That's humble. That's your God. He comes in person, in the person of Jesus Christ, who gives His body and blood for you. And He comes to you today in wine and bread. Simple things. Humble things. Which give you eternal life. Forgiveness. Salvation. That is wonderful. That is your hidden God. Who's not so hidden. Humility before God. Acknowledging how much He is above us leads us towards humility towards others. In Jesus Christ, God is a servant who reaches way below Himself to lift us up. And He begins to shape us that way. He begins to form us into servants who do not put ourselves forward, but in our simple vocations, everyday life, we don't promote ourselves over others or seek to act in power towards others. Rather, we imitate God in His humble service towards us. We seek to be like Christ in using the gifts and powers that God has given to us to lift up those around us. Last night, I was watching my favorite football team, and after the game, they have interviews of the coach and some of the players, and I only watch when they win the interviews. They had the quarterback on there, star quarterback, threw 3 touchdowns, had a great game. They had him on, and they started asking him about the game, and what is he say? He says, well, you got to give credit to the offensive line who gave me the protection. And the running backs, man, they ran hard. They ran hard today. And the receivers, you know, they played a great game. He didn't mention the 3 or 4 balls that he threw perfectly that they dropped. He didn't. He said, as far as I go, I need to take better care of the ball. That's how he reacted. In the spotlight. The next guy who spoke was a guy who had been sick all spring training and all during the summer and even through fall camp, and he just got back to the team, and he also had a great game. Nobody expected him to play, but he had an interception, and of course they asked him about the interception. So how do you humbly answer a question about the interception? And he said, "Well, this is what I was thinking about. The coaches told me." Trained me, and I knew if they called this play again, I'd be in a position. He kind of gave credit to the coaches, and then they asked a follow up question. Well, how do you think about it was kind of a surprise that you played the game. You've been sick so long, you had this ulcerative colitis, and he said, well, I just relied on my Lord Jesus Christ to get me through it. Kind of sounds like what St. Paul was talking about what our reading from Hebrews was like today. The Lord will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. That's what this guy was saying. It was his chance in the spotlight. And where did he direct everybody's attention? To his Lord Jesus Christ. And the coach got on. And he talked about the quarterback. And he said, you know, and he mentioned some things the quarterback never said about himself. He said, you know, there were a several times where the quarterback, he got us changed into the right play. He called an audible just like Curtis did earlier today. Sometimes you need somebody just to get you in the right play. And he did that. He didn't ask for credit for it. He didn't say, first thing says, oh, by the way, not only did I throw three wonderful touchdowns, I also got us into the play at the right time and the right... No. But his coach mentioned that about him. Now, which would you rather be? The guy who says, oh, all this great stuff I did. Or would you rather have that said about you by someone else? You see what I get out of watching football. At the close of the Civil War, there was the last grand review in Washington, D.C. of Sherman's army. Sherman's army comes marching into town. It's the last grand review. And the commander-in-chief of the army summons to himself another general, General Howard. If you know Civil War history, I think it's O.O. Howard. And he appeals to General Howard. He says, General Howard, I appeal to you as a Christian to let another general supplant you riding at the head of your corps. Is that okay? And General Howard replies, well, if you put it to me that way, as a Christian, I must yield. And yield he did. So another general rode at the head of his corps. And then General Sherman, who was commander-in-chief, he said, General Howard, I'm going to order you to ride by my side, not at the head of the corps, but the head of the army. And so it happens, as it generally does, when there's someone of genuine worth, that the last was first, and the one who humbled himself was exalted. That's what King Solomon is talking about in Proverbs today. That's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel lesson today. We don't seek to humiliate other people just to push ourselves a little higher. We don't seek to take credit for things that are beyond what we do. We put ourselves second. We put our neighbor first. We treat his secrets as secrets. We settle our disputes with him privately. The center of our dealing with others is how God has dealt with us through Jesus Christ. It makes us humble before God and humble before one another. For that's who we truly are. God reveals himself to us and shows himself to us in Jesus Christ. What a gift that is. What a blessing that is. And we serve one another when we seek to be, at least in a small way, the kind of people that Jesus is forming us to be right now. The kind of people he's recreated us to be in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen.